Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels to short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey!
All right. Another week.
We're back. Another week.
Look
another
at our fancy
day.
Background we've got now.
Woo! We got a whole lot happening over here.
I love it. Another week. And I feel like we saw a lot of each other this week.
Oh, we have already. You know, all day yesterday, I was convinced it was Wednesday. Like in the evening, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's almost Friday, and I have to do this, and I have to do this. And I was like, wait, it's only Tuesday. I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah. I felt like a Monday because I had the holiday off for MLK Day because the kids are out of school. So it was just like you get thrown in and ready to rock.
It is. Oh, good morning, Jeremy. Oh,
Jeremy Weiss in the house.
So always excited to have you. Exactly. That being said, by the way, as we kind of chit chat a little bit, let us know where you are joining us from. Always like to find out. It's so cool to see that we've got so many people joining us from around the country and around the world. Mm-hmm. So appreciate it. It makes me bring that early morning energy.
We want to make sure we perform for you around the globe.
Yeah.
On Wednesday mornings.
Definitely.
Love it.
Definitely.
So we're both live from our home bases, Miami. Yep. And my office behind me, if you can watch this, is slowly coming together. It's going to be office/studio.
It's coming to
little by little. A lot of new gadgets coming in to create better content. So I'm excited to get behind the scenes.
Ooh.
Behind the scenes episodes we can show little clips.
Wow. And here I was proud that I just like built a cabinet. Look at you all fancy.
My books are color coded. What shoulder am I on?
I'm definitely into that. I am so into that.
Well, we got Tampa, Florida joining us.
Woohoo!
Yuki Marie Bayo, good to see you here.
Oh,
thank you for
gosh.
Joining us this morning. But we covered a lot yesterday. So
we did.
We have our 2024 predictions you and I did on the big roundup.
We did.
Hospitality FM. We had some good things we covered.
We did. We definitely covered some good things. So, but we don't want to spoil that. So you'll have to either go check it out. I'm sure we'll also be sharing some little clips from it. We also did something.
Yeah, you're on my other podcast.
I was on your podcast.
And I got to learn Sarah Dandishy's story. And it's amazing, which will be out next week. Tuesday. So
Woo!
You will see that coming up very soon.
I am excited. So wait, did you actually learn new things?
I did. 100% learned a lot about you. And you're a very interesting person. I like it in a good way. And so I think for the people listening, if you want to learn about Sarah's story, come see how she started and
check
got to where she is today.
No, what I loved about our conversation is that that's actually, I haven't really talked about that in a while. And I just think with new people tuning in, new followers, and just I think it'll be just a nice way to kind of bring everything full circle.
I left inspired, no joke. I left. I was like, you know what? There were some things that you said. I was like, it's 100%. I'm gonna start getting back on it. Let's go.
Damn. I mean, I was there also to try and inspire myself. Oh my gosh, we're talking this up way too much. This is crazy.
Over here. So, we got Mark from Navarre Beach. Good to see you here, Mark.
All right. Who else? Oh, yeah. Sarah's story right here. Wow. Look at this. We got
sharing it Tuesday. I'll be posting it. You'll see the whole thing. But we have so many fun things we covered and we have a lot to cover today.
Yeah. Well, why don't we go ahead and let's just go ahead and jump into it. So hotel topics. Let's talk about what's going on in the world of hotels. U.S. hotel rates are actually bucking inflation trends with a year-end decline. There's been, you know, just kind of as looking back at how 2023 ended, hotel rates didn't rise as much as what we were kind of thinking that they would be. So it's good news for travelers.
Yes, it is.
Not so great for hotel owners that want to keep charging more and more and more. But it's just been like a little bit of a decline after recent months, you know, pretty much like leading up to that. It was a dramatic, pretty drastic increase. So it's pretty interesting.
It's interesting. For listeners, if you're here live, give us a thumbs up if your rates are going up, or a thumbs down if your rates are going down. We'd like to kind of see what's going on across the globe,
because yeah,
every market's a little bit different, and we're seeing that.
Completely. Yeah,
right?
Completely.
And so, and talking to a lot of general managers of their hotels, they just finished their budgets, but none of the general managers I talked to said that their budgets over the year are going down. They still have to hit higher numbers than they hit last year. So they're going to have even more of a challenge, but we're starting to see it cooling, especially in places that are not main attraction cities. So all these dairy cities that were having a lot of visitors starting to cool off a little bit. And some of these big cities are still struggling, you know, like the San Franciscos and the cities that are driven by office and visits and work. It's going to be a challenge for them to really make up these rates.
Yeah. Yeah. And to give you guys an idea, like preliminary numbers right now for December, show that U.S. hotel rates are up 2.2% year over year, according to SCR. But this pace, to give you an idea, has cooled since November, where rates were up 3.6% year over year. So a lot of things going into that, you know, whether where we are with inflation, also labor costs. I think it'll be an interesting year moving forward. You know, people are still spending more, and I think that the rates will, you know, still be higher, but I mean, it can't just increase forever. You know, it's got to kind of stabilize.
We even see that, like we were just talking with my team yesterday, right? And these are people, housekeepers, engineers, hosts, and they're saying, Steve, like we're looking just at our grocery bills and those are getting higher, right? Just nice. Everything's getting more and more expensive. And if we can't keep raising that rate, we can't provide all of these raises that are coming out there. So it's going to be interesting, because that's like a tiny microcosm of what's happening in all of these hospitality businesses across the country that squeezes on. So
yeah,
revenue management is going to be huge this year, making sure that you're looking at everything that's happening in your markets, that you're checking that PACE report to see like how you're comparing to the year before. So it's a lot to go on. It's a lot of pressure on hotels this year, because the owners of the hotel still want to make their money. And yeah,
Which actually ties into the next topic that we had on here as far as hotel profits. So perfect. It was like it was lined up by a genius.
Nice transition.
By a genius. Oh my God. Wow, guys, we're taking ourselves way too seriously here. So hotel,
this is a serious show, okay?
Very serious. Guys, if you cannot be serious about numbers, I don't know what else you can be serious about. Or hospitality. So hotel profits, what is going to be driving results in 2023? So, you know, as we were just kind of even taught, I mean, this is perfect. So obviously we all know 2022, 2023, banner years specifically for US hotels. And I'd be curious to find out for those that might be based in other countries, just how in general the past 2 years. But now it's become a little bit more challenging because of bottom line profitability. So, I mean, you've got obviously higher room rates post pandemic, but you know, again, just the cost of things are just higher, and interest rates and all of that. And so it's kind of some factors that they're looking at that might, it could either boost or it could hinder profitability, easier said than that. Location, uncertainties about 2024 travel demand, and then rising costs. I feel like travel demand is just going to stay. But I think really just the best way to kind of describe it is I feel like it's just going to kind of like level out, you know?
Yeah. And we talked about the cost, and there's some hotels doing something a little bit differently where they're playing with raising the rates, keeping occupancy a little bit less, so they kind of keep the same level of revenue coming in.
Okay.
because they don't have
the staff.
And they also want to keep their costs of expenses in line. So if you have less rooms and you can raise that rate, you can make more per room, but you're not selling out that hotel. We're going to see how that strategy works. Most people are going to be, you know, cutting to get heads and beds.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to see. But look, I would tell you, if you're in hotels now, look at all the agreements you have in place.
Totally.
Make sure, especially going into this year, if you didn't renegotiate anything in 2023, talk to your vendors this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say maybe it's technology vendors or not, but technology companies, you can renegotiate a little bit easier than some others, because food is food cost and you have beverage, it's beverage, and there's not many things. But if you have some technology partners you're working with, from the ones I've talked to, they're becoming a little bit more flexible because they become more efficient themselves. So they have less staff because they're using more tools that are making it easier to get the job done. So there's a lot to do. Look line by line. Where can you renegotiate? Do that now so that you're setting yourself up for the rest of the year.
Yeah, no, that's a really great point. And it was actually, I love that you brought up, you know, as far as different properties that might not be doing full occupancy, you know, just raising their rates just because of their staffing. And one of the topics, I said I wasn't going to hint at it, but one of the things that I had said yesterday as far as predictions moving forward into 2024 is guest expectations. You know, guess they are paying more and they don't want to hear the excuse. Oh, we're understaffed. Oh, it's, I mean, I had a valet guy tell me like 2 weeks ago, well, post pandemic, I was like, bruh, okay. Like just, let's just stick to parking the cars. We do not need to get into like employment rates right now. Like this is a bit too intense, but
it doesn't matter. Cause like some of these suites are going for 2000, 3000, 4000, 5000 a night.
And yeah,
they're not taken care of. They're not maintained well. And so then you lose that person as a fan because they feel like they got gypped. So you really have to see what you're doing for these people when they're paying those rates. You can't lean back on that excuse anymore.
Definitely. You know, and it actually reminds me of this last summer. I had a client stay at a very well-known hotel in Paris in the middle of summer, paying top dollar. Top euro, and probably spent at least 110,000 euros. Okay, to give you an idea. And I was like, it was like pulling teeth to get service. It blows my mind because I'm like, do you not realize like how much this client is spending? And all I'm hearing are no's. Also, like, I don't know. It was
did that client say, I'm not going back? Don't book me there again?
She did say that it is not one of her favorite places. And to be fair, it was a last minute. It wasn't our first choice, but it's like, it is an iconic place. And again, if somebody's going to be paying that sort of money, you would think. But so again, point is that like people are spending the money, deliver.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. I don't know.
Nailed it. Yeah. Listen, you're paying that money. You get what you should get that service.
But
you're paying a lot or a little. If you're being in a hospitality business, you should be taken care of.
This is very true. Very, very true. Okay. Moving on. Ooh, I got like hot. I got so passionate about that.
I saw you fired up. That hotel's in trouble.
I definitely got fired. It's either that or my energy drink. I don't know. But we'll move on to this next topic. And I love, because you actually brought this up in your predictions yesterday, which made me realize maybe it's not necessarily new. This was actually announced in October, but I don't know why we didn't touch on it at the time, but we never too late. Michelin Guide. They are going to be awarding keys to some of the world's best hotels. And I think that this is such a great thing. They're getting in on the game. You shared a little bit about this yesterday, but Steve, why don't you talk us through this?
Yeah. So what I love seeing, so we all know the Michelin Guide for giving stars to the restaurants and giving these awards that are so prestigious. It can change the lives of these restaurateurs that get these awards. So now Michelin is going to be giving out their award of the key. So they will be giving out key awards to hotels that meet certain criteria different than what we're used to. Because we've had Forbes and AAA out there for a long time giving stars. And I think Forbes is probably one that most of us are used to in the hotel world.
Totally.
And that will continue on being great. Michelin now is going to change it up a little bit. So it it's not going to be the same exact standards that we've all been brainwashed to remember as we go through. It will also be about the architecture and design. It will be as your hotel, you a destination unto itself and helping the community be better. Love is it a place that where it's not just the bed being comfortable, but it's about the overall experience? Was it something unforgettable that I would recommend to somebody? So I really think that people that will be getting these awards will be places we normally don't think of. Some of these smaller boutique places, I will bet money that people will be shocked that they get it. Like some of these restaurants that get the award.
Yeah.
It's not something you apply for. I think that these people are going to travel to unique places, give it to these places that have never won any awards before, and will blow it up for them. So that's what I'm excited to see for this Michelin Guide Awards coming through. What do you think? Are you going to see something like that coming through on your end?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think it's really interesting. What I love, and you touched on this, is that their goal in this is to redefine our notion of hospitality, which I love because they're just thinking on a bigger scale. And, you know, even it's like, it's not just about a comfortable bed, but it's about an unforgettable experience. And as you said, what I love is the property a destination in and of itself. That's huge. I mean, I know different hotels and properties that that is exactly what they are. And I even talk to people, you know, sometimes where it's like, oh, shouldn't, you know, where they're asking about where to stay. I'm like, well, do you want to go to like an iconic destination, you know, hotel, or are you just trying to go to that city in that area? So that's really great. And again, as you mentioned, the architecture, and then they also have the value experience ratio, which I thought was interesting as well, too.
That one, too, yes. So about the price. So you're paying a big price. Are you getting that value out of that price? Mm-hmm. And so what I like to see coming from it is, you know, we've worked in five-star places, you and I.
Yeah.
And like we talked about yesterday, they're all different. Mm-hmm. They're not all the same. But if you know the standards and you train to those standards, you can get that five stars.
Yes.
Doesn't mean that it's an unforgettable experience. So that's why I'm excited about this. I want to see what their first list comes out to be. I'm hoping that it's unique and it really does stand out and it's not just pay to play for some of them, because I don't want Michelin to get into that world.
Yeah, I don't want them to sell out to that either. But you're right. We did talk about this yesterday. And I think all of us that have worked in hospitality, you know, we're familiar with, you know, hotels that are rated 5 stars or 4 stars. And we can all really attest to the fact that not all 5-star hotels are the same. You can tell. True. Yeah, you can tell when, oh, did somebody have to grease somebody's palm to like keep that star rating?
I don't know. We're not going to hate on anybody. But
No.
You can, there's ways to get, you can play the game. And you can get your stars.
You can definitely play the game. Let us know, what is the, you know, word on the street about that? Oh, what is this? I'm just trying to see. Jeremy.
We got Kelly, and Kelly came from before saying there's from our previous topic that too many people are searching for remote opportunities and not willing to work in hotels, restaurants, retail, or offices.
That's
true. And we talked about this a lot yesterday too, was that tourism industry and hospitality has the highest quit rate, 4.1% out of all the people in that industry. So a lot of people are quitting. We can't replenish fast enough and we got to figure out some flexible staffing. And that's just what it's going to come down to.
Well, and it's tricky to figure out flexible staffing when you are required to physically be on, like, you can't be a bellman and like, you know, in another city.
Or part-time stuff. Like you talked about it in your show yesterday with me, is that you work the evenings because you had stuff going on during the day.
Yes. So
they were flexible with you in that place. And many people wouldn't be. They'd be like, no, I need you when I need you. And if you can't make that schedule, wish you the best. Sorry. Yes. Thank you, Kelly, for mentioning that.
Yes. No, that was really great. So much going on. Some
Jeremy.
Yes.
Will that apply to short-term rentals as well? No, Michelin is only doing hotels at this time, but I bet you will see some villa style hotels that maybe are a little bit not a vacation rental, but bigger, something smaller. I think you'll see a lot of those. That's what my gut says.
Super intimate, like, like Relais and Chateau and stuff like that. Like, I think it'll be some interesting stuff. Okay.
Another comment. Antonio, some luxury hotels, I won't name them, have J1s in charge of departments.
Oh.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of J1s coming and going. So it's hard to staff. So they're bringing people from other countries that are willing to do the work.
This is true. This is true. Which is not totally a bad thing. Okay. Let's talk about some travel topics. Let's talk TV. No, this is not turning into an entertainment show, but okay. I want to hear from Steve. I want to hear from Steve, but I also want to hear from everybody that is joining in. Have you watched White Lotus? Let us know. Do a thumbs up, whatever. Let us know here. And let us know if you like White Lotus. A lot of people have been going crazy over it. Steve, you told me just before the show you have not seen an episode.
I have not seen an episode of White Lotus. However, I wrote an article on set jetting.
Okay. Yeah.
Where people are watching their TV set and then jetting off to those locations. So Kelly has seen it. Lou, no idea what White Lotus is. HBO show about rich people living in hotels.
Yeah.
Right? I have not seen it. However, the hotels has been 2 seasons, mm-hmm. and each time it's been a 4 seasons hotel.
Correct. Right?
And those hotels, ADR, have doubled in price because people want to live that lifestyle they saw on TV.
It is insane. I especially want to hear from hospitality and hotel people about their thoughts on White Lotus. So, Steve, it's okay. I'm not going to make you feel bad for not watching it. I don't watch anything. 99% of the comments, my friends will always message me, have you seen this show? And I'm like, no, I don't have time to watch. But I did make a point to watch this. So unpopular opinion, I actually do not like the show. I do not like the show at all. And the main reason why I do not like the show is I feel like, 2 reasons. One, I think it makes hospitality people look bad and vindictive. And I don't think that that's the case. And number two, I don't like that it shows, basically it's just showing that wealthy people are miserable and that it's supposed to make the everyday person feel better. I mean, if we're really going to break it down and I'm not going to, you know,
sounds like a great show. Let me get on it.
That is my, but people love it and they love it. Well, and I understand then people like
Kelly got hooked. Kelly got hooked. Jeremy said his parents love it. All right, listen, I will have to make some time. I'm going to get into it because what I like seeing is that every time they go and post that show, everyone's traveling to that place.
People go crazy. So
let's tell, where is season 3 going to be?
So it's rumors have finally been confirmed. I know you are all so excited about this. Season 3 is actually going to be in Thailand. So it actually just came out this past week and they're already, I mean, they're definitely anticipating a huge spike in tourism to Thailand. Now, even though the actual show is not going to come out until 2025, obviously they have to film it now. Now, what's interesting for those, you know, we know that there's been a heavy relationship with Four Seasons in regards to the show. It's been a 2 Four Seasons locations up until now, but there are a couple of Four Seasons in Thailand. So people have been trying to figure it out because they admitted it's in Thailand, but they haven't confirmed where. But I love this. The potential clue as to which Four Seasons could actually be is at the Four Seasons Resort in Koh Samui.
Koh Samui.
The Four Seasons Resort in Koh Samui. It actually shows that there is no availability for the resort whatsoever in early February through the last week of March. So
that could be the spot. Koh Samui is beautiful. I went there on my honeymoon. I love Thailand. And if it was close to the United States, I would go more often.
Well,
people are fantastic. I did not like Bangkok, though. And Bangkok is the most visited tourist city in the world. And I was just overwhelmed there. I could not function.
It is?
It is. Number one, the rankings came out. Number one tourist visited city in the world is Bangkok.
Yeah.
New York, I think, was like number 7 on that list. But overwhelming. But Koh Samui, Chiang Mai, Chiang Rai, all these cool other cities off the beaten path there, the islands. Man, it's just a great people, beautiful setting. So I can only imagine when that show comes out in 2025, our Instagram feed will be filled with at Portofino, Italy. It will be over in Koh Samui, Thailand.
So true. So true. And I have to say, I am like, and I've been to Thailand as well too, and it's beautiful. And I had an incredible time. So But again, part of the appeal, especially to Americans and probably Europeans, is that, oh, it is generally more affordable. So this will be interesting to see what spikes. I mean, we can even look at something like Bali, for example, how Bali was so super affordable. And now so many people that go now are actually coming back and saying, wow, well, that's not as affordable as I thought it would be. And you're paying these crazy prices. And that's in Indonesia, you know? So it will be very interesting to see how that just changes.
I like to go to Bali, though. I haven't been there. And for anyone listening, I know we're getting off topic, but I love Cambodia, too. That was a really cool
place. Oh, you're just planting the seeds. So if you would like Good Morning Hospitality, the Hotel Edition, to come to Bali or Cambodia. Topics.
We need a travel section. Cities. We'll highlight some cities. Let's do something.
I know. Exactly. Yeah. I think that would be fun. I think that would be a lot of fun. So, exciting times, but that is our two cents on what's going on with White Lotus. And we'll definitely see how it.
I will start watching. I will start to watch the show.
You should do it.
Oh, baby bro, David Turk. Good morning.
Woo-hoo! All right. Another quick topic that is going to be it that we should talk about before we wrap up today. Looks like there's probably not going to be a JetBlue Spirit Airlines merger. So prior to the whole Alaska and Hawaiian Airlines merger that was announced just before that, JetBlue and Spirit were talking about merging. And really the big issue with that is that they argued that it would pretty much crush competition and ultimately lead to higher airfare prices for American travelers. And basically a federal judge in Massachusetts has already shot down this proposal for this merger. So interesting.
It makes sense. You know, look, we need some ways to be able to control rising costs. And
yeah, totally.
More competition, people are able to do that. But, you know, Spirit. Yes. Do they sell airplane tickets for $8? Absolutely. But
yeah,
I've taken it a couple times. You converted me to Delta, but I've taken Spirit when I need to, and they do a good job and they've been on time. Mm-hmm. And I understand that there's a lot of people who can't afford to travel and go see their families and go places. And they need places that like JetBlue and Spirit to give them those opportunities.
Yeah. Look, I mean, we've got like the Ryanair model in Europe. That does really well. So I was talking to friends of mine. I was debating on going and meeting them in Spain, and they were flying from Germany to Spain. I was looking at flights from Los Angeles, and main cabin was going to be $1,800. And I was like, oh, how much is your flight to Spain from Germany? 20 euros. 20 euros. I mean, granted, like they probably had to like, okay, and then there's this for the seat and for the bag and blah, blah, blah. But I was like, what? Oh my gosh. Yep. Like we have smoothies in LA that cost that much. Like what the heck?
Your Irwan stores. I've seen that all over the place.
I know. It's true. It's so true. But to kind of give you guys perspective, if there was a JetBlue Spirit Airlines merger, it would create the nation's fifth largest airline. And that would be behind the big four. American, Delta, Southwest, and United Airlines. And so that's why they're kind of like, don't know if that makes sense. And they are, they're not totally, they are different types of service and price points as far as JetBlue and Spirit. So I think that, I actually think just knowing the brand separately, because I love JetBlue and I'm not a fan of Spirit, that would make me sad. That would actually, it would hurt me ever wanting to book JetBlue again. Because of that merger.
Yeah.
So just say, you should airlines take your business advice from my opinion here.
Yes. Well, you travel more than most people. And so I think that you more than anyone has a say.
Exactly. Well, there you go. Okay. Whoa. Why don't we need to.
What is this? Lou said just spent $7,600 for two flights from Charleston, South Carolina to Singapore for Economy Plus. Holy.
Sounds about right.
Holy. That's a big price for two tickets.
Yeah.
Well, you're going a long way across the planet.
Yeah. Whew. That's crazy. But again, I mean, that shows you what the price of things are.
And why you need more competition. There you go.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So why don't we go move on to our next topic, our real-time recap. Where have you been? What have you seen out there?
I have been nowhere because, as most of you know that follow me on social media, I've been injured. And so today's the first day that I've been able to like walk around without the help of any tools. I am still wearing an Aircast, so I still want to thank all of you because many of you sent me beautiful little notes of get well, feel better, and just knowing that so many people care about you, even with a little note, made me want to get up faster, get out here, be on the show, and have some good energy. So a big shout out to all of you who sent me a note. It really meant a lot to me, so thank you.
No, I think that's great. And I'm glad that you are on the mend. I'm also glad that you get to sit during this show.
Yeah. I like our producer backstage. We found out he stands all 4 hours. I might have to do it, but I don't know if I could.
Well, judging from the other day where I fell backwards in my chair here, which for those that might have missed it on my social media, I happened to be recording myself and I leaned back and I flipped and like I almost lost my laptop, my phone and everything. And lucky for me, I ended up recording it. So of course I shared it.
We need the bloopers. We need the bloopers.
Yes, we do. Totally. Not everything's perfect. So my real-time recap, I'm going to do something a little bit different. This was actually not a great experience. I don't always like to harp on negative experiences just because, you know, I get it. We sometimes have off days, whatever. I happen to go to a Thai restaurant. I know the owner. I've known him for years. Went with a friend of mine. Didn't say we were going. It doesn't even matter. It's fine. But we were just going and we're like, oh, so excited because it's super delicious. And we go and like this. The server was just, you know, she comes over kind of prematurely. Are you ready to order? And we're like, oh, we just sat down. I mean, there's probably going to be some form of pad thai, but like, can I have a minute? Like maybe I want to order something different. And then she took a while and then she came back and then we put in our orders. And as we were even just like asking about something on the menu, she was just so like, yeah, no. And I'm like, okay. And then we kept asking for water. And then not bringing water. You know, then she didn't bring water. And then she finally brought water. And then like, didn't want like clear everything. And it was just like, it was just one of those things.
Rough.
I'm like,
and rough I know. Service
day. Well, yeah. And we've all been there, you know, we've all gone out to eat. Like and it wasn't expecting anything exceptional, but it was like, don't give me an attitude because I don't know what I want to order yet. And like, can your girl get some water?
Wait. You see that restaurant in Japan that they actually go to and make you feel bad on purpose?
Wait, no, but we need to talk about this next week.
Yeah, we'll put a note on it. But it was, I think, 60 Minutes or like CBS Sunday Morning. Where it's like the most popular restaurant in Japan because Japan, it's all about etiquette and treating each other right. This one, you walk into, it sounds like you were there.
It does sound like I was there. We're definitely going to talk about that hotel next week. Or not hotel, that restaurant. So that is awesome. Anyway, that's that. And it was just like one of those disappointing things. And it was like, I never do this.
You tell the owner. Never.
I tipped less.
Yeah, but you gotta tell the owner too. Because if your friend is with the owner, you gotta know.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so ooh, that pains me to admit that because I like to over tip, but I was like, yo, girl, we cannot. Okay, so our hospitality quote. We're gonna end on a positive note. I love this hospitality quote. It's simple, it's clean. Steve, you wanna read it?
This one's deep. There is no hospitality like understanding. Mm. Ravana Banta.
It's so good. It's so simple. I mean, if you really sit and you look at what people want to be heard. They want to be understood. And they feel at home, so to speak. That's what we look for in our friends. That's what we look for in our relationships. That's like what we want to be understood. And I mean, that to me is like, is the root of hospitality. And if you're able to make a guest feel comfortable and understood, I mean, that's a ticket right there.
It's true. And just being a good listener and hearing what that person is saying and being able to talk back to them by focusing on it means a lot because you understood them, you know where they're coming from, and you can also help them if they want that help. So I love that quote. Easy, simple. We need to make like a wall of quotes that we got here.
We've had some really good quotes. Steve, I have to say, you're a great listener.
Ah, thank you very much, Sarah. So are you. I love coming in here. You understand me.
No, but like you really are good. Like you're so good at listening to everything. So give you credit for that.
Thank
Kudos.
You.
Kudos. So, well, on that note,
It's our show. So if you haven't subscribed, liked, share this with your friends. We love growing this community. Mm-hmm. Keep doing it. And we appreciate the super fans here that have been coming back and some new fans. Love seeing Kelly and Lou here.
I know.
Keep coming back every week.
I know. This is great. And also for those of you that have, like, maybe you've seen something interesting in the news, let us know. Send us a note. If we can, we'll totally talk about it. So always great to hear what's a word on the street with other individuals, and what's going on in different parts of the world. So let us know. We want to make this interesting for you, as it's as interesting for us to do.
And on that note,
love making you laugh.
See you next week.
What?